Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 22 and 23. You have 23 on the board. So I will start with 22 first, then I will come on 23. Tasyaya manasi syatit parebovah parabhavah prakshinebhyam svavaribhivyah smridanam chajatsurah. Translation. Because of your misbehavior towards Brihaspati, you have been defeated by demigods. My dear demigods, since the demons were weak, having been defeated by you several times, how else would you, who were so advanced in opulence, be defeated by them? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The devas are celebrated for fighting with asuras perpetually. In such fights, the asuras were always defeated. But this time, the demigods were defeated. Why? The reason, as stated here, was that they had offended their spiritual master. Their impudent disrespect of their spiritual master was the cause of their defeat by the demons. As stated in the Shastras, when one disrespects a respectable superior, one loses his longevity and the result of pious activities, and in this way one is degraded. Verse 23. Magavan disha tak pasyam. Magavan dishvatak pasyam. Prakshinan guvati kramat. Prakshinan guvati kramat. Samprati upachitam buja. Samprati upachitam buja. Kavyamaradaya bhaktita. Kavyamaradaya bhaktita. Adadvira nilajanam. Adadiram nilajanam. Mama pibrigu deva devata. Mama pibrigu devata. Magavand vishatak pasyam. Prakshinan gurvati kramat. Sampratyu puyachitam buja. Kavyamaradaya bhaktita. Adadrina nilajanam. Mama pibrigu devata. Prabhus. Madajis.
Magavan
Magavan, O Indra, Dvishata, your enemies. Pasha, just see. Prakshinan, being very weak. Guru Atikramat, because of disrespecting their guru. Shukracharya, Samprati, at the present moment. Upachitan, powerful. Bhuja, again. Kavyam, their spiritual master. Shukracharya. Araja, worshipping. Bhaktita, with great devotion. Adadiran, may take away. Nilayam, the abode. Satyaloka. Mama, my. Api, even. Brigudevata, who are now strong devotees of Shukracharya, the disciple of Brigu. Translation: O Indra, your enemies, the demons, were extremely weak because of their disrespect over Shukracharya. But since they have now worshipped Shukracharya with great devotion, they have again become powerful. By their devotion of Shukracharya, they have increased their strength so much that now they are even able to easily seize my abode from me. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Brahma wanted to point out to the demigods that by the strength of the Guru one can become most powerful within this world, and by the displeasure of the Guru one can lose everything. This is confirmed by the song of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada Yasya Prasada Nagatir Kutopi. By the mercy of spiritual master one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Although the demons are insignificant in cooperation to Lord Brahma, because of the strength of their guru, they were so powerful that they could not even seize Brahmaloka from Lord Brahma. We therefore pray to the spiritual master. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum hajate girim yat kripatam aham vande shigurum dina taranam. By the mercy of the Guru, even a dumb man can become the greater orator, and even a lame man can cross the mountains. As advised by Lord Brahma, one should remember the Shastric injunction in one desire success of the life. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada. Namine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyadesha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shiva Sadigora Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, we all know that we are right now, at the moment, on the beginning of Kali Yuga. And the Kali Yuga is the last Yuga in the session, the fourth one. And it's not really the pleasant time to stay on the planet, to stay in material universe. It's not really the best place to be for advanced spiritual souls. But still, the great thing is that even in the Kali Yuga, we still have a bona fide spiritual masters, we still have a chance to advance, and we still have the door open to go back to Godhead, at least on the beginning of the Kali Yuga. So, the point is that sometime covered by material opulences around us, we forget our real position. And that from time to time happened even to demigods, even to so powerful demigods such as was Indra. So as you were, you know, hearing the previous days, the Indra had a very nice and peaceful stage, and he was enjoying a lot with all his associates on Indraloka, on his planet, and there was Gandharvas, there was a lot of opulence, and there was another demigods around him, of course. And then in one moment his spiritual master, Brihaspati, showed up, and he didn't ask for any respect, but he was a spiritual master of Indra, demigod Indra, not just his spiritual master, but a few more demigods. And he's also very, very powerful person. He's very powerful spiritual master. He's a pure devotee of Krishna. So Indra was too much occupied with his material, not material enjoyment, but he was a king, and everybody was worshiping him, and they have a very nice time all together. That even he was noticed, his spiritual master came to the gathering, he didn't offer his obeisances. He still remained on his throne, and you know, he continued doing whatever he was doing before. So there is explanation that Brihaspati could even curse him. Even although his spiritual master, he could still curse him, and this is what sometimes the big sages are doing, just for the benefit of the person, not to put somebody down, like sometimes we have our material desires. But he didn't do even that. He loved Indra so much that, you know, he just turned back and ran away, walk away. So Indra, it didn't took so much time to figure out that he make a serious mistake. He was trying to find his spiritual master with help of another demigods, but he could not find him because his spiritual master became with his power invisible to the eyes, to the material eyes of Indra and other demigods. And then there is explanation in the previous verses that when you lose the support of spiritual master and the mercy of spiritual master, then we are becoming very weak. And all our even material opulences starting to disappear from the ground. So demons, they heard about it, and by the advice of their spiritual master, Shukracharya, don't think that demons doesn't have spiritual masters. Oh yes, they have. Sometimes they also disobey, sometimes they don't worship them, and then they're becoming also very weak. But in this case, this time, they were worshipping quite well Shukracharya, and he gave them advice that it's a good time to attack the demigods, because they're very weak, because the king of demigods, Indra, offended his spiritual master, and he doesn't have mercy of spiritual master anymore. So they said, great. They took weapons immediately, they attacked the demigods, and then defeat them. They even took Indra's throne. So many of demigods, they had arrows, and they were wounded, and they ran away. And the only shelter they could really find in that stage was Lord Brahma. This is just introduction to this verse. So now they were in front of Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma told them, of course that this happened, because you offended your spiritual master. You don't have mercy of spiritual master anymore. And this is happening to you basically just because it's good for you to learn this lesson. Many times you defeat demons. Many times you defeated them. Many times they offend their spiritual master, Shukracharya, and they lost their wars. But this time they got you. This time you offended your spiritual master, and they have strength and power in their hands, so they occupy your divine kingdom. So it's not true that demons cannot come to the heavenly planets. Oh yes, they can come. If demigods are weak, they can occupy them. And they are looking for their chances all the time. So the point is that what we can learn through all this example. Of course, we all know that this story, like all other beautiful spiritual stories, has a happening on the end. That Indra, he learned his lesson, that everything is going back into normal. But this is the critical point in scenario. They are right now in front of Brahma and they start figuring out the power of having a bona fide spiritual master. And this is the point also where we have to start questioning ourselves, our seriousness, our connection with our spiritual master. And when somebody young who doesn't have spiritual master approach to us, what could be our recommendation to him? Now, we are staying in India, and India has a very great tradition and very great history in spiritual activities. They have spiritual masters since ancient times. What is not example on the West? And some of sampradayas, they mentioned that spiritual masters can be only those who are brahmanas or who are from Brahman families, especially in some places in South India. Even today, when you discuss, they will tell you, no, only Brahmana can be a spiritual master. But Srila Prabhupada was dealing with this question a lot, and he proved that actually spiritual master doesn't necessary to be a Brahmana. It could be also Kshatriya, it could be a Vaishya, it could be even Shudra. Srila Prabhupada was giving many examples about that. He elaborate, especially in teachings of Chaitanya, of teaching of Lord Chaitanya. And there is the 31st chapter. You have the full explanation, a beautiful explanation about that. I will take just some parts of that, explain it to you, and try to put in connection with Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam that basically anybody can become a spiritual master in one moment of his life if he just go through the proper path, if he is going through the proper road, if he's giving up from his material desires and activities. Anybody can become bona fide spiritual master, and anybody can be accepted as a bona fide spiritual master. And on the end we will discuss what does it mean, bona fide. You know, it's not that we can go back to the spiritual world if we have a spiritual master. No, that word bona fide is extremely important. Bona fide spiritual master. So what does it mean? Bona fide, we're going to touch it up at the end of today's class. Now, first of all, let's start from accepting the spiritual master. It's not that just anybody, you know, can just read books and become pure devotee, can become Krishna conscious and go back. No, it's very important. In Srimad Bhagavatam first, you know, Krishna asked Arjuna, please surrender to me and ask me. So Krishna became a spiritual master basically of Arjuna. They were also friends and they have many other ways of relationship, but he was also his spiritual master. Then there is Lord Chaitanya, who came here something more than 500 years ago, and as a Vishvambar, it's not that he was saying around, look, I'm God, I don't need spiritual master. No, he was following the same thing. By his example, he also accepted Ishvara Puri as his spiritual master, and he took the knowledge from him. It's not just Ishvara Puri. Later, when we're going to go back to that, but later when he became sannyasi, he also, when he was traveling in South India, he met Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy, he was telling him, look, for me it's very difficult to explain to somebody like you a spiritual knowledge. It's very hard. Who I am to tell you about Krishna and about Radhe? And he was telling, you just need to tell me about Radhe and Krishna. You don't need to tell me anything else. And from that point, whatever you're telling is pure. So it doesn't matter if your position is lower than my position as a sannyasi. You still can teach me. So please teach me. And from that point, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explains, it doesn't matter on which level we are, as long as we present the pure message, even somebody who is in a higher position still can listen, can hear, and can grow, can develop advancement in the spiritual life. Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya also, they have spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. Then there is explanation that there was a Rasikananda, a very advanced devotee, who took shelter from Shyamananda. You all know story about Shyamananda. And Shyamananda was not a Brahmana. Shyamananda was just a servant. He was far away from being Brahmana. But he became qualified, and he became a spiritual master. Rasikananda took him as a spiritual master. Then Ganganarayan Chakravarti, for example, he took as his spiritual master Narottam Das Thakur. Believe or not, Narottam Das Thakur was not from Brahman family. He was not a Brahmana. But he was great Vaishnava, he was great Acharya in our descendants, and he produced many wonderful verses, many wonderful poems that even today we're using in our explanation. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that there was one time even a big hunter named Dharma in ancient times. And Dharma, he was a very successful hunter. He killed many animals. Not just killed, but the whole package. And later he became a spiritual master of many, many advanced souls. So it's not that only Brahmana from Brahman family can become a spiritual master. No, actually the explanation is even if somebody is born in Brahmana family, if he's behaving like Shudra, if he's talking like Shudra, we should consider him a Shudra, an opposite. If somebody is born in Shudra family, if he's behaving like Brahmana, if he develops characteristics of Brahmana, we should consider him a Brahmana. And that was the rule in previous yuga, that's the rule in this yuga as well. So therefore, the bona fide spiritual master doesn't mean somebody who is born in Brahmana family, but who develops the characteristics which spiritual master should satisfy. Now, the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy when discussed that on Kuveri River was exactly the same. That the spiritual master, qualification of spiritual master is much higher than caste, is much higher than any material classification, and depends only on certain criteria. Now we will go back, what does it mean being a bona fide spiritual master? What is a bona fide spirit? Many times we said bona fide spiritual master, but we don't have sometimes a clear understanding what does it mean. What does it mean a bona fide? So there are many explanations in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many explanations. Also Krishna told a few things to Arjuna, but what could be the summary of that? What is the bona fide spiritual master? Srila Prabhupada said that there are two words which explain a bona fide spiritual master. One word is Kshatriyam, and the other one is Brahmanishtam. So the Kshatriyam means that the one who is presenting the message in original form, who is not deviating from the message of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that it's very important that spiritual master is descendant of Krishna himself. That means that the line which follows starts with Krishna, not with somebody else, with Krishna personally. And if the descendants of spiritual masters is coming in that line, that's one qualification for a bona fide spiritual master. Then message that spiritual master is presenting, it has to be pure. Purity of the message means that message should be in the original form, how in which he received from his spiritual master. Should not be a deviation. That means if his spiritual master was saying that, you know, he should follow the four regulations and he should not do this and that, if spiritual master is coming and telling somebody, you can still be flexible. You can go in disco club, you can drink sometimes, not a big deal, really. That's not a bona fide spiritual master. That's not the pure message. That's maybe because spiritual master wants to keep his disciple, or maybe he wants to help him, but this is not what spiritual master is supposed to do. This is a business. Okay, I will give you what you like, you give me what you like. It's nothing to do with the spiritual knowledge, with the spiritual transcendence. There is no questioning about principles. There is no question about following the regulation. There is no question of deviating the message. Now those days we have many spiritual masters, they're writing their own books. They're doing their own explanation of spiritual knowledge. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote many books also, he gave explanations. But all explanations that Srila Prabhupada gave didn't deviate for 1 millimeter from what he got from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, I was involved from beginning helping little bit Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, in making his books. Why I like his books? Because he's actually not writing much, he's not giving so much explanations. He's choosing the topic, and then he's taking from Srila Prabhupada books everything what Srila Prabhupada said about that, or from some other books from qualified, bona fide spiritual masters, he's putting together, and he's bringing in one digested form. I like that style very much. This is the safe path. There is no deviation. There is no need for, okay, now I'm going to explain you further. Sometimes it's necessary for some disciples, definitely spiritual master can explain further and should explain further. But it's very important that message is straightforward and it's same as how the spiritual master received the message. So this is the Kshatriyam. This is the first qualification. And it's extremely important. So the second one, the word Brahmanishna, means that that spiritual master, he had the full faith in the Supreme. And that he is always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Means that spiritual master must be free from all material attachments. That, in other words, means that we have to observe spiritual master, that we have to be sure that the spiritual master is Krishna conscious, that whatever he is doing is connected with Krishna consciousness, that he doesn't have any personal motivation, that he doesn't absorb any, you know, he's not involved in any material activities which are clashing, which are not going in aligned with the teachings of Lord Krishna, and that he fully had faith in Krishna. Any even small deviation from that could cause the spiritual master is coming down from the level of bona fide spiritual master. And then the message that he's spreading could be a little bit contaminated. So the second part of being a bona fide spiritual master means having full faith in Krishna and not being involved in any material activities. Sometimes some activities could look like material activities, but if they are done on the right way, they are not material, they are spiritual. Some devotees sometimes they are discussing, look, some sannyasis, they have opulence, they are receiving so many donations, they are traveling and all these things. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was traveling also, he was also receiving many donations. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I was reading some Bengali reports on his visits, he was also receiving extremely many donations, and he was traveling a lot. It's not about that. That's the right thing to do. Sannyasi has to travel. He should receive donations. The thing is that what you're doing with those donations, if Sannyasi is transforming those donations into further service of Krishna in different projects, in different, you know, activities connected with Krishna consciousness, then he's a bona fide. He's doing the right thing. And that's a fact. So it's not about receiving. It's about channelizing. If channelizing is proper, then spiritual master is the proper. Now we're coming to us. So, in beginning of spiritual life, we come. I remember when I came first time, it was 1990. I entered the temple and there was some pictures on the wall. There was a couple of them. And those people looked so amazing to me. They was quite like shiny. Even I saw in one moment some light around. You know, when you're 17, 18, you see many things. So I saw some light. And then they explained to me, those are our spiritual masters from our zone. There was a Hari Kesh, there was a Chinandan Swami, Kshetra Prabhu, there was a couple of them. And then when you be accepted by spiritual master, when you get the spiritual master, wow, you feel a huge respect, you feel a gratitude, we have a very warm feeling of we want to serve a spiritual master, we want to help him in his mission, we want to please our spiritual master. But then the years are passing, the time is passing, and we are not strong enough. What's happening? We start trying to find mistakes in our spiritual masters. Okay, what he's doing wrong? Let me see. Well, I saw him 100 times doing this, but I never didn't thought about that. Mm-hmm. Then we start developing how to formulate that. Suspiciousness. Little bit small suspiciousness is here and there, if we are not strong enough spiritually. And we are suspecting a spiritual master, then we are losing a taste. We are losing taste for his mission, for his service, for everything. Then we start being grihastha, then we have older children or becoming a senior brahmachari. Then we have certain opulences, we have certain powers. Some other younger people depends on us. And then the spiritual master is becoming even more somewhere in the corner, not the center of our life. And this is probably what has happened with Indra also. He got a lot of opulences around him. He got an extremely powerful position. He was a king of demigods. He is. And then he said, okay, well, this is my spiritual master, but everybody is worshipping me. Maybe I don't need to worship him anymore. But that's wrong. If you stop worshipping spiritual master, if we just for a second stop doing that, we are losing the whole mercy. All spiritual mercy is going away. And spiritual mercy is very much connected with material mercy. That means our opulences start disappearing slowly. We can get more and more material things, but we are not going to have taste because we don't have a spiritual taste anymore. Therefore, connection with spiritual master, how the time is passing, how the years are passing, should transform from one material connection. I have desire to see my spiritual master, to be close to him, to one deeper connection, that I want to serve my spiritual master. I want to offer obeisances to him. So it doesn't matter even if spiritual master is present on the planet or not. It doesn't matter even if he is next to us or he is on another part of the planet. He should be next to us in our heart. He should be always there and he should be always worshipped. And that position should not be questioned at all. That's one portion of spiritual life that we have to follow very strictly. But spiritual life is same like one recipe for cooking, let's say. If you just miss one small thing, then the whole preparation went wrong. You just forget to put salt, or you forget to put, I don't know, if you put doing sweet rice, you forget to put sugar or milk, you don't get what you're cooking. So it's not a matter of compromising. I remember Srila Prabhupada gave, you know, a very nice example. He told a story. I will tell you one nice story now. That we really have to follow 100% what we are doing to achieve benefit, to achieve perfection. There was a very rich man. I told this story a few days ago in a Russian class because it's really powerful, it's really amazing. Since I don't see many Russian devotees here, I will repeat one more time. There was a rich man and he had a very nice servant. That servant, he was washing him, he was preparing everything from him, he was traveling with him. He was really dedicated servant. He was servant, you know, by the mean, not just by the word. So they went one time for holiday, and it was something between winter and spring. They went for Himalaya trip, and they stay in one ashram. And it was quite cold. Ganges was extremely cold. There was snow all over on the higher hills around. And one day, till rich man was taking rest, the servant took a walk. And he ended up to the riverside, the bank of Ganges. And then they told him about one very powerful yogi who can perform amazing austerities. They told him, you should go to see him. He is a great sage. So the servant went to see, because he had inclination toward mysterious, toward spirituality, same as his rich boss. He went there and then he met yogi who claimed that evening time he can go into river, into cold Ganges. I mean, whoever went to Ganges, the earliest I went was April. You know, I went to Rishikesh and then even I end up in Gomukh at Gangotri. You know, but it's not, you cannot touch it. It's extremely cold. That yogi, he could stay in the middle of Ganges the whole night. He goes inside, he stays, the stream is so powerful, Ganges is so cold, he's staying whole night, and in the morning he's going out. And because the yogi has to survive, right, he was always, you know, betting with people. He was giving few rupees, you give few rupees, that he prove you that he can stay whole night. And, you know, the servant, he went evening time, he saw yogi coming inside. He came next morning, then he saw yogi just coming outside of the river, and those who were witnesses there, they told him, yes, it's true, he stayed the whole night. He's an amazingly powerful person. He came back, he told the rich man, look, I found one amazing man. You won't believe it. He can come in the middle of night, he can go the whole night, stay in the cold water without any damage on the body, and he's going in the morning. The rich man immediately ran to the river with his servant. He said, oh really? You can stay inside? He said, yes. If you give some donation, put some rupees, I will prove you. So of course, the rich man, he took money out, he said, okay, let's see. They stay whole night, and the yogi was in the river whole night. In the morning he went, he gave a smile. You know, rich man could not believe, he put his hand in the water, it was heavy cold, he was like, oh, this man is powerful. But then, when yogi was just about to take donation, when another man came, the habitat of that place, he came and told, don't give him money, he's a cheater. Rich man was looking at him, he said, really? He said, yes, don't you see what he's doing? He said, no. You see that ashram there on the top of the hill? And then the rich man was watching. Oh yeah, there is ashram there. Well, I saw him. Every night he's doing the same thing. He's standing in the middle of river and there is one ghee lamp that on the ashram. And he's taking the heat from that lamp. He's making his body hot and this is how he survived. He's a cheater. And the rich man, he was like, oh really? He took the money. He said, you cheater, I'm not giving anything. He went back. You know, rich people sometimes they're a little bit attached to their money. You know, it's not easy, right? Even if it's few rupees, still it's a money. I'm working very hard for this money. So, what's happened? The servant was not pleased at all. Because actually he brought his master. He brought him, he showed him the yogi. Yogi really did what he was asked to do. And on the end, what rich man did, he just took money and went away. But he was silent, you know, he was a very nice servant. He didn't want to disobey to his boss, whatever. So, what's happened, the night has come, then the morning, and the rich man asks his servant, gling, gling, gling. Servant was coming, he said, I'm hungry, please make some breakfast for me. Servant said, yes, master. He went to the kitchen. The 15 minutes passed, the 20 minutes passed, he was not coming back. The rich man became anxious, you know, hungry. He went to the kitchen, he said, what's going on? The servant ran out of the kitchen, he said, no, just a little bit, be patient, it's not easy. It's, you know, it takes time to cook nice preparation. He said, okay, he went back. The servant continued cooking. Another 15 minutes passed, 20 minutes passed. Then the rich man became furious. You know when you are hungry, there is nothing. He ran to the kitchen and he entered in the kitchen and he saw his servant cooking. But how he was cooking? There was one candle down on the floor, turn on, and then he was keeping pot up high, 2 meters away from the candle, and he was waiting water to boil. And the rich man was, "What are you doing? Are you crazy?" Servant is asking, "Why?" He's saying, "You're never gonna cook this water. I mean, look at this, is small flame and this is too far away." And servant was turning back, he said, "Well, my dear master, if you believe that that yogi could heat his body with the flame far away from the hill, why I could not build this water just 2 meters away from the candle flame? What is the problem?" And then the rich man understood. He figured it out. Okay, there is a point here. What he did? He went back to the bank of the Ganges. He found a yogi and he hid his donation. He paid his obeisances. And he, you know, I mean, he was, his material desire to keep money was stronger than a common sense. How he can keep the heat from some small flame. Then Srila Prabhupada explained that actually, if we don't follow just one thing when we perform Krishna consciousness, this is same like cooking, boiling the water 2 meters away from the candle. That means if you just don't do one thing right, if we just don't do one single thing right, everything can fall apart if this is something very important. So worshipping spiritual master is very important. Following regulation is very important. Sadhana is extremely important. Relationships between devotees are extremely important. Avoiding Vaishnava Parat, especially important for Mayapur. Because this is the main thing, how you can fall down and run away from here. All these aspects has to be kept like a treasury. And we should every morning remind ourselves when we wake up who we are, what we are trying to achieve. And regarding our spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada disciples who are still present on this planet, I will tell you one thing. We all know, it's very clear, even to us, even to the Ritviks and whoever, that Srila Prabhupada was a very special soul, that he was a different, that he is a Senapati devotee, that he was the one who came to help all of us. But those kind of devotees, they never come alone. They always bring with them a very close associates. They always bring with them a very close disciples to help them in their mission. They never travel alone. And many of our spiritual masters are very close associates of Srila Prabhupada. And even if we don't understand sometimes something, that doesn't mean that that's not a bona fide. And we should not speculate. We should keep respect. So respect is something that we should maintain if we want our bhakti lata in the heart to grow. And therefore, you know, we should every morning first respect our spiritual masters and be very thankful and grateful for Krishna allowing us to have such a person present in our life. And we should grab every single moment for both aspects, Vapa and Vani, without exception, to gain the benefit and to use this special birth we got to achieve as much as possible, because we don't know when the next chance will come. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If you have any questions or any comments, yes please. Kali Yuga?
Yes, so on the beginning of the lecture you said something about Kali Yuga affecting other planets also. It's not the best time or place to be for anybody who wants to make any spiritual advancement.
Yeah.
But tell me please, because I don't understand, like, where exactly is the Kali Yuga happening? Is it happening only on the planet Earth and then affects the other planetary systems also, or it happens, you know, in the some locus or some so where exactly is the find this information in the books?
Well, Kali Yuga is not just on the planet Earth or another. Kali Yuga is in the whole material world at the moment, right? It seems like summer, winter, spring. It's all over the place. There is explanation that Kali Yuga doesn't affect so much highest planets, but how planets are coming down in material universe, there is more and more influence to the, you know, the size of life, to the height, to the understanding, to the memory, to intelligence, to amount of advancement, you know, and it's not pleasant time to stay. It's not definitely pleasant, especially for spiritual soul, because we are surrounded with many disadvantages. I mean, now those days you can see, you know, we call it civilization. Especially, you know, they have a very powerful, a modern civilization, advancement. It's actually disadvancement. It's opposite direction, you know? It's really opposite direction. It's something that is grabbing us so fast that we don't even see how much the world changed in last 30 years, 10, 50 years. You just think about it a little bit. Try to go back to remember how it was 30 years ago and now. We are doing this quite often, right? And you will figure out. They call it advancement. All these computers, iPads, so internet, chips, all these things. But it's not advancement. It's actually degradation. It's the tool for Maya to enter. The other day I gave class in one school. And I asked children, okay, how many of you had iPad, iPod, or laptop? And I'm talking about maximum high school children, right? Everybody. Maybe two, three didn't raise up their hand. Then I asked them, okay, how many of you has a Facebook account? It was at least 80% of them. Children, 11, 12 years old, 16, 15 years old. And I'm asking, you're wondering why we have problem with education. I mean, it's not just that, of course, but the point is that Kali Yuga means taking freedom away from the people and putting them in one box with less memory, less intelligence, and more pressure, that you cannot think freely anymore. It's like a robots, you know? We are becoming a kind of robots. And there is explanation also that in one moment of Kali Yuga, we are not going to have devotees on the planet anymore. The Govardhan will disappear. The all holy rivers will disappear. Saraswati already left, right? Yamuna is on the edge to leave. Ganga will stay maybe 5,000 years more. You know, Govardhan Hill is becoming very, very small and in one moment, gone. So the point is that we have to use this advantage of this beginning of the Kali Yuga and special chance that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Usually Narayan is coming in this time of Kali Yuga. But in this particular Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and this is the wonderful, because when Chaitanya comes, it's like a twister. He's picking up the souls and taking with him. So that's why for us there is no Kali Yuga. You should understand that. For us, always should be, you know, something above the yoga, because we all should become a nirgunis. We should go above the gunas of material nature, and we should become transcendental. And Srila Prabhupada once said, you should all become spiritual masters. You should all go around accepting disciples, chanting, of course, bona fide spiritual masters, not just by title, right? Mr. Spiritual Master, Vaikuntha Nithaya. That's a nonsense. No, it should be a bona fide spiritual master going around spreading, and you don't need to have even these Bibles. You know, you can just spread the message, the beautiful message of Krishna consciousness. And then there is no Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is gone. Finish. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Okay, we have 2 minutes more. Okay, Mataji, please. Sorry.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a thoughtful class.
Thanks.
And just on identifying a bona fide spiritual master, it's a two-part question. It seems to me to know one that's spreading the Krishna consciousness correctly, we ourselves would have to know the scripture to identify if they're spreading it correctly. So maybe you can comment how, because nearby devotees aren't going to know as myself if they're saying or not. And the other question is that you spoke, you touched on the spiritual masters engaging so much donations in Krishna consciousness, and I can understand that. But is there a question about the quality? Like, they can just use all the Lakshmi, maybe for their flights or what you use, travel expenses. So does that mean they can use it for, you know, the high class travel? Or, you know, should there be some minimum thoughts about how the Lakshmi flight is used?
Right. Yeah. First part of your question is, Maharaj, you want to?
I got to answer the cut.
Please.
You said that the Krishna avatar comes down not alone but with his associates.
Yes.
Your Prabhupada never said, I have come with Nitya Siddha Sakya Krishna avatar. So he never said that.
Yes.
He said the opposite. He said, I have created your good fortune.
Yes.
So you have to be careful. You prove to me that Prabhupada said, I descended along with
No, I didn't say that Srila Prabhupada said that. I didn't say.
That's a real problem with you guys.
Yes.